You're on your Classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis. And are you living with a chronic or persistent pain? How do you get on top of that? I'm joined by Lisa Parkinson, accredited exercise physiologist, director of Optimum Exercise Physiology. Claire, Lisa, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Jordan. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. So obviously many people would live day to day with some sort of chronic pain or persistent pain. What kind of things are we looking at?
Yeah, well, like you say, lots of people live with chronic or what's called persistent pain, whether it be knee, back, shoulder, or any other area of the body. And many sufferers are not actually aware of the things that they can help do towards their recovery. And one of the really important things is education and exercise. But education around persistent pain is a really important step for sufferers in self-managing their pain better and getting back to doing the things that they really enjoy.
So with pain, obviously, our bodies are trying to tell us something is wrong. If we don't act on our pain, is it doing us harm?
Yeah, well, so pain doesn't always equal harm. So pain is a protective signal of our body regarding tissue damage. And with persistent pain, the pain system becomes more efficient and becomes overproductive or oversensitive. So there might have been damage to an area once, but the pain keeps occurring long after the damage is healed. So all pain is real. We're never going to say to someone they don't have pain. It is real, no matter what's causing it. But what surprises most people, though, is that you can have pain where there is actually no tissue damage there anymore or tissue damage. So that is that there's pain where there's no damage to the muscles, tendons, nerves, or any of the linings of the body.
Right. So how do we assess chronic pain? Obviously, if all pain is real, we need a way to try and see what's wrong if something is wrong.
Yeah, well, lots of people think that they should get an X-ray or an MRI or something like that if they do have pain to see if there's something on there that might give them a clue as to what's causing it. But medical images such as X-rays or MRIs are often not that helpful and can actually be harmful in shaping one's thoughts around their pain. So we do sometimes see abnormalities on scans, but they aren't always the reason for their pain, and they might just be normal age-related changes. And you might see something on an X-ray for somebody with pain, but you might find another client who doesn't have pain but is showing the same thing on the X-ray. So we can't say that that is what's causing the pain. So the information gathered from medical imaging can sometimes leave sufferers with persistent pain feeling damaged. They may lead to avoidance of activity and seeking other unhelpful treatments. So it's not always useful, and sometimes even how you're told about what's on these scans can result in pain for some sufferers. So they're not always helpful.
And I guess, like, it can be used to dismiss the claims of pain as well, can't it? If nothing shows up on the scan, then, oh, that must mean it's all in your head.
Yeah, so it can go both ways. So, as I said, we like to treat the symptoms and not what we see on a scan necessarily, yeah.
So what are some tips then for somebody living with persistent pain?
Yeah, well, like I said, we need to kind of make sense of your pain and undertake some education. So education by a health professional, or there are lots of free online courses to help you understand more about what chronic pain is and how you can self-manage and do things to help yourself. And that's an important part of the journey. And also an important conceptual change is from pain being an indicator of damage to just pain being a protector. So kind of moving away from that, I'm causing damage. So just that it's my body, you know, protecting me.
So how can exercise then help?
Yeah, so it's widely accepted that exercise and physical activity can help to reduce pain and improve function and someone's quality of life if they're living with persistent pain. And not to mention, you know, all of those other benefits that we get from exercise. And some people think it's, you know, it's because we're improving our physical function, like we're getting stronger, and we're, can do things for longer, and that's why we're getting the benefits of exercise. And that's obviously true. But then there's also research saying that reduced pain is actually more closely related to the reduced fear of movement that people can get. So it improves their ability to do exercise. They're not as scared of it. Reduced anxiety and also improved confidence. So those things are really important in helping to decrease our pain.
Right. So it's not necessarily, if you are feeling sore in a particular part of your body, it's not necessarily a bad thing to get moving.
Not when we're talking about persistent pain. So in the majority of cases, it is safe to get moving again. And when commencing exercise, it's helpful to establish your own personal goals, not only related to the exercise itself, but also kind of other activities that you enjoy doing. And we want to start with some gentle exercise and really focus on what you can do, not what you can't do.
And what happens if our exercise is what's flaring up the pain, if we start moving and we're trying to exercise, but our bodies are telling us no?
Yeah, well, Again, so we know that pain is a bit of a protective factor and it can be hypersensitive. So it might be telling us that, trying to tell us no to stop when it's just being a little bit overcautious. So we need to make sure that that pain is not severe. Obviously, if it's severe pain, then we stop. But if it is tolerable and it eases after you stop exercising and then you're okay the next day to do the same thing again, it's okay to do that exercise. So as long as it's tolerable, it's okay to do it. And like I said, as long as it stops when you stop exercising. But when you are starting exercise, it's really common to have those flare-ups where it might, you know, be a little bit more than that. And that's okay, especially for those people just starting out. But it's just an indicator that we just need to go really slowly with our progression with exercise. Sometimes people want to get back to it too quickly and it's just too much. It's a bit of an overload. So we've just got to start slowly, ease ourselves back into it. And if you do need help, obviously contact an accredited exercise physiologist and we can help to design that program for you that aligns with your personal goals and helps stay motivated. And also, if people are looking for that education around pain, I suggest the painrevolution.org website is a really great place to start as well.
No worries. Well, Lisa, we're out of time, but thank you so much for chatting today.
You're welcome. Thanks, Jordan.
That was Lisa Parkinson, accredited exercise physiologist on your Classic It's Breakfast.